Do you find yourself becoming impatient during the day with your children, whether that's during homeschool or just in general when it comes to motherhood? You're struggling with anger and reacting in a negative way and reacting in a way that is not cohesive with how you want to mother? Today's episode is going to bless your socks off. Is that even a saying? But I was able to sit down and have an amazing conversation with Elizabeth from Emotionally Healthy Legacy. And as a mom of over 21 years, I was blessed and redirected in my thoughts and my way. So I know that you are as well. So Elizabeth is really passionate about mental health and emotional wellness for you as a mom. And she spends time working with Christian moms and overcoming anger. Her story of the awakening of how she realized that she was struggling with this is really going to catch your attention and you're going to really resonate with it. She wants to empower you to leave an emotionally healthy legacy for your children. I know that you are going to be blessed just like I was with listening to Elizabeth's insight and wisdom. Welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you'll learn tips and strategies that will empower you to home educate your children. I'm Lee Nguyen, a homeschool mom of over 12 years, which includes two graduates. When I started homeschooling, I was pretty much on my own and was desperate for encouragement and help. My mission is to be a source of encouragement and help to you. Whether you are just beginning your homeschool journey or you're deep into the homeschool lifestyle, Little by Little Homeschool wants to help you stay the course because all the time you are investing into your children is completely worth it. If you're ready to take your homeschool to new levels, keep listening. Today, I am really excited about this conversation, talking about motherhood and anger and the feelings that come up and how we can really work through those. So I am excited about this conversation with Elizabeth Andrzejewski. So welcome, Elizabeth. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored to come over here and talk to mamas. I am a mom of four kids. My husband and I have been married for almost 15 years. We live in North Florida. I have three boys. They are 12, 9, and 6. We have also a two-year-old girl that really blends in with all the energy in our home when we have a little puppy. So his name is Fluffy. He's a little Pomeranian, and we have lots of energy and noise in our house. And a little bit about me is I felt like I was a patient mom until I had kids, or I felt I was a patient person in general. And then I had children, and then I had multiple children. And I think I quickly realized that patience is not something that just comes to you. I think you have to intentionally work on it and put effort into it. And I had an experience when I was a young mom. I had two kids. My second one was colic, and my older one, I was 3 years old, and my second one finally fell asleep after hours of crying. I put him in the swing, and my older one, for some reason, came up to him, picked up his brother's hand, and bit the finger. Obviously, the baby woke up, started screaming again. I did not respond well. Let me tell you that. That was probably my first moment of not just mom anger. I'm talking about mom rage, where I acted out in a way that is not aligned with who I want to be or who God is calling me to be. I screamed at him. I think I said, "What did you do?" I like screamed at him. I physically hurt him because I was feeling so out of control and enraged in that moment. And right away, just filled with like remorse and shame and guilt. What's wrong with me? What did I do? How did I get here? I never thought I would react in such a way because I thought I was a pretty like kind, decent person. And all of a sudden, this side of me comes out that felt so like I literally felt like a monster in the way that I reacted. And that was my first experience with like mom, like rage, I would say, like intense anger. And then as time went on, I had more kids. And after my third one, I had a lot more of those moments. My husband traveled a lot for work, and it was me and three little boys at home a lot. and they were all home at that time still. And so it was just keeping up with three kids all the time, him being gone for days at a time. And I would find myself really reacting a lot, just raising my voice a lot, throwing threats out a lot, just feeling on edge and just agitated and annoyed by my kids that they're next to me all the time and they need things from me all the time. And that is when I started to seek help because I just felt like I was not being the mom that I envisioned myself to be, right? When we become moms, we're like, I'm going to be this loving, kind mom sitting down and reading a book with my kids and just everything is so nice and peaceful. And then your kids are upside down and someone is farting and someone is have voice and someone's breathing on someone else and someone's doing a handstand. And it's just not the way I envisioned it to be. And then I feel frustrated. And so I needed to learn how to manage my own feelings and my own reactions so then I could teach those things to my kids. And that's how I sought help. And that's how I got where I am today.
I thank you for that story. Just your vulnerability is just refreshing to hear because I know that we've all been in that place. I know that I was in that place. It was many, many, many years ago, probably prior to you and to other moms that are listening, but we've all been in that place. And so I think that it's an important conversation to have, to be open and vulnerable with that. So can you tell me what contributes to moms feeling that easily being angered and overreactive?
Yeah, well, I believe there's a lot of things that contribute to it. There's a lot of practical things, and then there's mindset things, what we think in that moment. So I believe one of the biggest thing is moms have unmet needs. It's a very practical thing. They're completely running on empty. They're taking care of everyone else. And they are sleep deprived and they're hungry. Like, those are two basic ones. Like, we know that a toddler will have a meltdown if they are tired and if they're hungry, but we don't implement that towards ourselves. And that is like one of the basic, basic things that moms experience. Another one is being overstimulated, just having too much happening at once. You have your phone, you have your music, you have the TV going, you have kids running around, and just your nervous system is just overloaded. There's just too much stimulation. Another one is just being overcommitted, just having way too much on your plate, and you're saying yes to too many things, and you're trying to cram so much in your day on your to-do list, and then you're just running on empty constantly, just going, 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 going. Another one is just not having any silence in your day. And part of that one is spending time with God, right? Not connecting to God and the source of peace and calm and just constantly just going, 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 and not having any time in your day to just slow down and decompress. The house is messy. That's a huge one. That's a big trigger for many moms. Not having support. Just doing everything on your own or not asking for help or asking for help, but you're not being heard and not being supported. That is a huge one. So there's a lot. And then just a lot of like negative thoughts. We have a lot of negative thoughts that contribute to us feeling frustrated. If you are doing a homework with a child and they are resisting you and they're having a hard time and you're telling your mind is telling you he's doing this on purpose. He's wasting my time. He's making my day hard. Well, how do you think you're going to respond, right? Versus we're both having a hard time right now. We're both trying to figure this out. My kid is just struggling and it's my job to remain calm and collected and God, please help me in this moment, right? So your thoughts also contribute to the way that you respond. And so I believe there's a lot of different things. It's not just one thing and everybody has different triggers. And as I work with clients, we figure out what is actually your trigger and how can we address it. And you probably will have multiple triggers.
And I think everything you just listed is I could say to myself, yes, yes, yes. I think back to myself and my young motherhood and just the basic thing you mentioned, I mean, I knew I wasn't getting enough sleep, and sometimes there's only so much sleep, and I would make sure I would take naps and that kind of stuff. That was like my big thing. But eating, just not eating enough food, not being hydrated and not just not just the basic things like that is simple, and it just continues to grow. Let's go back to when you're talking about the connecting with God. What are some practical solutions to make sure that we can get that in every single daily, connect with God, because that is what's really going to be the source for restoring us mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah. So one of the things that I will say that it was a massive game changer for me to increase my capacity and my tolerance levels and to be able to be more calm and grounded and patient as a mom is to get up before my kids in the morning and spend some time with God. Hands down, that is the one habit I would say that completely shifted in the way that I was showing up for my kids. And even if you have a little one, even if you have a little one and you wake up, if you can get 15 minutes up before your kids and just invite God into your day and just pray and center yourself, or maybe listen to a devotional as you're brushing teeth instead of just jumping into your day and taking care of everybody's needs and your nervous system is just completely overloaded and you reach your max capacity in like 2 minutes, right? And so getting up before my kids in the morning. Now I'm in a position where I can do it an hour before my kids because everybody sleeps through the night. I know that's not the case. I have a 2-year-old right now, which means as I started this journey, I then later on had a baby. And so one of the biggest things was when I would wake up in the morning, I would not take my phone for a while. That's our tendency, right? To pick up the phone, to scroll, and right away we have that stimulation going on, but use that time to literally just be in silence and pray. If you take your phone, listen to a devotional or something. And that's a habit that you have to instill. But for me, spending some time with God in the morning, and it's actually so good because it calms your nervous system. When you wake up, your stress levels are at its highest. So if you jump into your day doing, taking care of everybody, putting out fires and changing a diaper and, you know, resolving a conflict with kids, right away, like your nervous system reaches its capacity really quickly versus if you wake up half an hour before your family or an hour, depending on how old your kids are, and you use that time to pray, to read the Bible, to maybe journal. Those things are so calming to your nervous that your capacity just increases massively. I promise you, we did a challenge with my audience in January. And it was getting up an hour before your kids in the mornings. And so many moms were, and a lot of them were homeschooling moms. And they were just telling me how massively it changed the way they showed up for the day when they spent some time with God in the morning and poured into themselves. So then they had so much more tolerance and just capacity when things aren't going your way throughout the day.
I think also just having that quiet time alone, I think that's something that we just crave as moms, and especially those that are listening, most of them homeschool or going to homeschool, and kids are home all the time. And so just having that space of quietness, aloneness, my family, when my kids were younger, they kind of knew like mom gets up. She doesn't really want to talk to anybody for a little while. And then I started getting up a little bit earlier. So by the time they actually got up, I was in a more pleasant mood. Mm-hmm. I was ready then to answer the 5 million questions I was going to encounter that day. So,
yeah. And then one other thing is that I want to mention, if you have younger kids, and mine are older too right now, but having quiet time in the afternoon after lunchtime is game changing. If you are a mom who's with your kids home all the time, which you are, if you're listening to this, and I did this when my kids were young, and now it's just a pattern in our house. After lunchtime, it's quiet time. Everybody goes to their bedroom. They can play with Legos. They can read a book. They can just quietly play with their sibling, but it has to stay quiet. And for an hour, we have a quiet time in our afternoon, which allows you as a mom to have some alone time to decompress, to recharge, especially if you're an introvert. Absolutely. This is like, it's not just a want, it's a need in order for you to have more capacity in the afternoon and in the evening.
I did that for many, many years. I remember not really knowing anything about it. And then I'd have younger kids and older kids that weren't napping. And I was like, wait a minute. So does that mean I don't get that? Because you have your first child, you're used to having nap time and having a little bit of time. And then you realize, wait, do I not get that nap time? Like that's the time I use to recharge or to get some things done. And every day I kind of did different things, but Yes, I employed that and it was a game changer. I think it saved my sanity for many, many years. And my kids, we kind of laugh now because they're like, we didn't think that anybody went out and did anything in the afternoon because that's just what we did for so many years. So
Yeah.
I second that. Absolutely second that. So Elizabeth, I've heard you talk about five habits that are costing moms patience with their kids. Can you tell us what those are?
Yes, I can. And it's going to interweave to some of the things I already mentioned before. And habit number one is sleeping in the morning and not spending time with God and just jumping into your day right away without having any alone time to center yourself and connect with God. So sleeping in, so it's like staying up late and then sleeping in. It's that habit. And that is number one. And it is, I promise you, it's stealing your patience a lot. A lot. Number two is phone boundaries, poor phone boundaries. We all know what social media does to us. We pick up our phone any free second, and then we scroll on social media, and then your kids come up to you and they want something from you, and you're just shooing them away. Get away from me. Or you're watching a video and your brain wants to close the loop of finishing the video. It doesn't want to be interrupted. And then your kid's needing something from you, or they're having a hard moment with their sibling, and you feel annoyed and agitated because your kids are needing you, right? And so that second one is absolutely huge. So I would actually encourage most mamas to either really limit social media or even delete it off your phone. And you will, like, your capacity levels, I promise you, your patience is gonna be next level. You might go through withdrawals for a couple of days because you're gonna notice you pick up your phone and there's nothing to do on there. But I promise you, being able to be present and not overstimulated and pulled into multiple different directions at the same time is massively, massively transformational. So those are the first two. The third one is not having any time to recharge and decompress. And we talked about that. You can, especially in the afternoon, like you did your homeschool with the kids in the morning, you were out and you were doing an activity with them. It is so important for everybody, not just you, even your kids, to have some time to decompress in the afternoon, to recharge your tank, to spend a little bit of alone time, sit down and read a book or prep for the evening and just listen to a podcast or just a devotional or just worship music or something that really recharges you. Like if we go, 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 go all the time, it becomes too much in our nervous system. And that's a habit of just scheduling yourself, right? And so that habit is also like stealing your patience a lot, which leads to number four is saying yes to too many things. And just it could come from your mentality that you feel like you have to say yes to be a good mom, to be a good Christian, because you feel like you have to say yes to all these things and you just take on too much on your plate. And then it becomes easily too much. You're literally juggling too many balls and it feels like you're dropping them all and you can't do any one thing really well because you're literally doing just too much. And then the last habit is not asking for help, feeling like you have to do it all on your own. You see that you're struggling. You see that you're having a hard time. You see that you're overreacting. You feel like you're drowning. And you think it's failure to ask for help. You think that you should be able to do it all. You think that you're a burden if you ask others for help. And it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost of your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. Everything is, it's like it's pulling from somewhere. And so those are the five habits I notice a lot in moms that is contributing to them running an empty and being overreactive and stealing their patience. What are your
Most,
thoughts?
yeah, most moms, I would say yes to every single one of those. And I've seen it in my life. I can see it now too. And I think that most are like, Elizabeth just called me out right there in a really good way, though. It's good stuff to know. We need our sisters in Christ to say, hey, I'm not perfect, but this is where I have struggled. And this is the freedom that I have found and the patience and the groundedness I feel in my family now by getting to that other side. So thank you for sharing those. I've got one last question here for you. We're gonna like it's hit it with a home run here, okay? How do moms process intense emotions in a healthy way without taking it out on the family? So going back to your story in the beginning, we've probably all been in very similar situations and have felt this. So how do we process all these emotions without it being a detriment to our family?
So one of the things is if you proactively spend time with God in prayer, you will be processing emotions on a regular basis. Because if you're praying to him and you're sharing with him what's going on and what feels hard and heavy, you are processing emotions in a healthy way. Another one is journaling. I journal prayers and my emotions and put it on paper. And so when you're getting it out of your mind and on paper, that's another really healthy way to process emotions. And if you create that morning time and you're every day, you're spending 5-10 minutes to journal, what happens is you're constantly releasing those emotions in a healthy way. They don't get cooped up. There just isn't as much, right? Another one is friendships, having friendships, safe people that you can share what you're struggling with, what feels hard and heavy, and they will listen. And if you are in a position to receive some feedback, they will maybe redirect you and guide you and give you some solutions. But sometimes we just need a safe person to just listen to us, not complain. There's a difference between like venting, like I'm having a hard day and just need to release some of the cooped up stress and emotions versus complaining. Complaining is more like, my kids are driving me nuts. They never listen to me. They're such terrible children. I hate being a mom. That's complaining versus I had a really hard day with my kids today. Things felt really hard. When my kids weren't listening, I felt so frustrated. I feel like I'm running an empty. And I just don't know where to start. I need to do something different. And that would be venting in a healthy way, because then you are able to receive some input and able to take action on some things that are not working well in your life. And the last one I would say is to process your emotions in a healthy way is just moving your body. Like I love going on a walk and praying as I'm doing that, or talking to my husband. He's my safe person. And so I'm moving my body. Emotions move through motion. So I'm moving my body on a regular basis and talking about what I feel, what's going on, processing, or praying out loud to God. I love doing that. When I'm like, my husband and I are in a tense situation, I'm like, you know what? I'm going on a walk. And I live in Florida, so it's nice. I can just go on a walk almost anytime. And I will just go and I will like, what I do is I vent to God about my husband first or my kids. And then I will say, okay, God, show me where I'm wrong. Show me what I'm not seeing. Show me what I need to change. Shift my perspective. And so then I am ready to receive what he has to say. And I oftentimes turn on worship music as I do it. So I'm moving my body. I'm verbally processing and like praying about it. I'm listening to music, which is another way to process and release emotions. I'm crying, which is a healthy way to release emotions. So it's like I'm combining all these things at once. So moving your body, talking to a safe person, praying, crying, journaling, those are really wonderful ways to release emotions. And one more thing I want to mention is if you feel like you're heated with your kids and things are getting really frustrated and you are standing there with them and you're trying to do homework and you're feeling yourself getting escalated, the best thing that you can do is to communicate that you need a break and go take a break. Because if you continue to stay in that state, you will eventually get to your breaking point and it will not be pretty. And you will say and do hurtful things that you will regret and that are sinful too. And so you just tell your kids, I feel really frustrated right now. I'm having a hard time. I'm going to go to my room for 5 minutes and I will be back when I feel better. You can pace, you can do push-ups. I don't care, but like process and pray and process those emotions, and you're going to be able to re-enter and feel much better. That was a lot in like 2 minutes.
That was amazing. And it's when you say it, it's very impactful. And you think it's simple though, but we just have to go do it. And I want to go back to that distinction you made about venting and complaining, because that was huge. Because venting is sharing because you want to get to a solution. You maybe want some input. you need to process this and you know that there's a better solution out there. Complaining is sometimes something that we all have people in our lives who just complain and they don't take action. They're not looking to make any types of shifts or changes in that relationship and in their life. And therefore, they just want to complain to you about it. And I think that's a really big distinction. So I don't want anybody to feel bad about talking to a friend or to their husband about the hard situations. I think that with your heart in the right place, and also then the moving and the, you know, the walking and the praying and all of that too, is just processing it with God. And I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth, where can the listener hear more from you? Because they've listened to this and they're like, all right, I got to hear more from this girl. Where can we send them to?
Yes. So I do have a podcast called Emotionally Healthy Legacy, and that it helps you become an emotionally healthy mom so you can leave an emotionally healthy legacy for your kids. We talk about mindset and stress management and emotionally healthy regulation. So those are the things I talk on my podcast. And then I have a training that I put together for the listeners. So if you go to the website, endmomshame.com, it's going to direct you to a link where you could sign up for a free training. And it's about 5 steps to break free from mom rage shame. So when you exploded on your family, when you yelled, when you screamed, and you are just consumed with those negative thoughts from the enemy. You are the worst mom in the world. You're not meant to do this. What's wrong with you? Your kids are going to hate you. You're messing them up for life. All those negative thoughts that make you feel worthless and like a terrible human being, I help you through that in that training. So go check it out. I think you're going to find it really valuable.
Thank you. And I will list all of those links in the show notes. So it'll be super easy for listener to get to those. And I encourage you to do so. So thank you for being here today, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me.
There was just so much to unpack in that. And so much of it was just a simple and a great reminder. Some things that you probably already know. But then she stacked it on top of things that maybe you haven't really quite thought of. And I feel blessed. And I know that you do as well. And I want to really encourage you to go over and listen to Elizabeth's podcast and to go check out the resource that she has for you. Like I mentioned, all of the links will be in the show notes. She is going to be your go-to woman to talk to when it comes to when you're struggling with anger. And we all do. It's don't be ashamed of it. It is recognizing it. And then what you get to do with that. And what you do with that can make a huge difference in your life and in your children's lives. So make today the day that you decide to make that shift and make that change. Thank you for listening, friend. I'd love to connect with you more. You can find social media links in the show notes and share this episode with a friend who could use a boost to her homeschool. See you back here real soon.